Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 2021 offers, contact your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
1850-715-815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Yesterday on the programme, you would have heard for the last half hour or so, a young man called Jer Smith. He's 30. He's told a remarkable story. Circling around and focusing on his wonderful mother, Patricia, who's currently a resident in a HSE-run facility, but she's only in her 60s and will be moving to a nursing home in Ballymun very soon, we hope, COVID and all that, to be near her children and her grandchildren. But when Jer, who was on yesterday, and his twin brother and the 14-year-old, who was a year older than them, when they were that age, their mother unfortunately had to go into this residential unit. And the three lads, three teenagers, lived on the 8th floor of a flat in Ballymun. And they described how the relatives were brilliant, but how this woman came into their lives called Sister Anne Thomas. Now, they called her Anne because they didn't know she was a nun for a long time after. And they, I think Jerry used the phrase at one stage, she saved our lives. And when you listen to Jer, you can understand that he's now saving lives in his attitude and his upbeat demeanour. But a number of people contact us literally about people who saved their life. Louise is in Wexford. Louise, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
And who saved your life, Louise?
My two daughters.
And what happened? November the 12th.
On November the 12th, I've been sick for about 9 months and they have no idea what's wrong. My GP diagnosed me with suspected MS. But obviously with COVID, I can't get in or out, do anything, you know, with appointments and things. So my daughter, on the 12th, my daughter had been doing a nail course and of course, I was the model. She was practicing on me.
Right.
And I just fell over and stopped breathing over the table. And I don't go unconscious. I can hear, well, I didn't for the first one because it was so long. I only heard, like, when Millie rang the ambulance. But honestly, the two of them were as cool as cucumbers, like, they probably didn't show us that they were panicking, but with me, they were just absolutely amazing. They got me down onto the ground.
Right.
They said, you know, whatever injuries she has, we'll deal with them. And my daughter chest compressed me for 27 minutes while I stopped breathing. Yeah.
Is that CPR? That's the hand on the hand and on your sternum.
27 minutes.
Staying alive.
And I still wasn't breathing. And my 15-year-old was turning my head, taking the foam out of my mouth, and also keeping my 10-year-old twin boys out and just telling them mommy fainted, and keeping as calm as 15 while your mother stopped breathing in the sitting room.
27 minutes.
I'm really rural, and I was Millie just kept giving the air code, and eventually they all turned up together, three ambulances and two medical cars. They all turned up together, but they were even saying to Millie they do it in 4 minutes, you know, each.
Yeah, they take turns. I know they have to take turns because it's so physically straining.
Yeah, of course it is.
Now, Anne, Louise, you're getting your nails done. You're the guinea pig for Millie.
Yeah.
Did you know what was happening to you?
Well, I just knew that all of my muscles, I couldn't move. You see, the esophagus part, this is the problem. The esophagus part over my throat just goes, and I'm literally, my body goes. You don't have to breathe. You don't have to. You don't have to move any of your legs. You know, but not only that. Like, my heart rate doesn't move. my blood pressure doesn't even drop. Nothing. There's no answers to the, why this is happening. And now I'm having three a day.
Wow.
Well, I've been... I had to... It's atrocious since I've come out of hospital. Like, it's really bad. Like, I know I'm worrying about Christmas and because I'm raising the four of them on my own. Like, that story about... Like, I have the four of them on my own.
Yeah.
In rural Ireland, like... And I'm worrying about money and I'm worrying about, like, the kids. And but sure, nobody is coming, like, you know, nobody has said that they'll even give me a home help. Yeah. I can't drive.
And okay, let's I'll come back to that in a sec, Louise. Let's go to your daughter, Millie Nolan. Yeah. Millie,
yes.
Millie, what do you remember? You were practicing your new skills at doing nails and shellacking or whatever. What happened, Millie?
Yeah, hi Joe, how are you?
Good, thanks.
So, yeah, I was like doing like lessons, nail lessons and stuff like that. And my mum was bringing me to them and stuff like that. But for the past like 2 months, like since school started, probably with the stress and everything, because like, I don't know, just school and four kids by herself, she was like stressing and stuff like that. So every evening my mum would become shaky and she'd have to like sit down and stuff like that. So this meant that I couldn't really do anything on the evening. So anyway, this evening I was doing her nails because this was the first full set that I would ever do. And I had, of course, my ring light and stuff like that out. My sitting room is quite small, so I had like a desk and everything in there. Mm-hmm. And my mum came back in from... having a cigarette and then made a really wheezy, like a something that you wouldn't think of a noise that a human would make. And I was like looking around and I was like, is that the dog? And I was like, what is that? And she was like, oh, it's just me. And I looked down and I was doing the nails and I look back up and at this stage she was like falling and I was like, are you okay? And she was like, I don't know. So I jumped from my seat, ran and got my sister. My sister was in the bath and she was singing, having a full-blown concert.
Okay.
And I was banging on the door and I was like, come on, Abby.
Quick.
Like, get out. And Abby was like, no, go away. Like, she thought I went to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And
as
my
usual.
brothers were in the room, like, across from the bathroom. So I was like, oh, no, like, they're going to hear. So I just said, mom needs help or something. So, my brothers didn't hear. They were on the Xbox, which is a lifesaver. And so then my sister ran out. I said, keep her kind of breathing just for like 2 minutes while I get the ambulance. So I rang the ambulance. They gave me all the gave them all the details where I live and stuff like that. Told them about some of the tablets she's on
That.
So I come back in then and my mom isn't breathing. She's fully gone. She was foaming at the mouth and my sister was trying to get it out, but she was still sat on the chair.
Yeah.
So I said this to the correspondent and I was like, my mom isn't breathing. And he was like, okay, so I want you to get your mom down, you and your sister get your mom down onto the floor. Now my mom, she wouldn't be like a small woman or anything, no offense, mom, but like
that's okay.
she'd be big and
strong.
She'd be strong. She would be very heavy bone. So me and my sister were like, how are we gonna do this? And obviously my sister was crying and stuff like that. So I was like, come on, Abby, like let's go. So I got her ankles and my sister like got under her shoulders and just kind of nudged her off the chair. And sure, she fell, but sure, we just trying to straighten her out and put her over towards the couch. And then, he was like, we're going to go into CPR now. And he was going it through it with me, counting 1, 2, 3, 4 with me and stuff like that. And so I proceeded to do this. And my mom would come back every 3-4 minutes and take a massive breath.
Great,
could tell she was in pain because every time she took a breath, she would groan and stuff like that. And so it was obviously really hard seeing my mom like this. Yeah. But I think, Joe, I was actually expecting this. That's why I could kick in so fast. I was actually expecting this to happen because I was refusing to go to school and everything like that. I was saying, no, I'm not going in and leaving my mom like this because she's by herself when she drops the kids to school. So I was like, nope. Not a chance, I'm not going in. And the school, I had several conversations with the school about this as well. But yeah, so we kept on the CPR, and the correspondent was like, do you have a defibrillator? And I was like, no, we actually don't. Yeah. And he was like, ring a neighbour that would have one. So my sister did all of the like talk inside of things, where I was the more physical side of things, and I was just screaming orders at her. But she was very calm in the sense that she could.
And all the
do
while, Millie, did you learn CPR?
Yes. Yeah, so actually, in transition year, we done. I think it was a 3-day first aid course.
Okay.
So it was just like a CPR course and stuff like that, and I actually got a certificate for it. But Joe, you'd never, like, you don't know when you'd need it, really. Like, I didn't know in a year's time that I'd need to be using it on my mother.
Yeah, but Millie, you also don't know that when you need it and you're called upon, which you were, alone with help because of where you live, 30 minutes away, you don't know if you're going to be able to rock up to the challenge.
Yeah.
But you did.
Yeah.
You didn't panic.
No, no.
Why not? Why? How come nothing?
I think that I was expecting it, because of how sick she was and shaken and stuff like that. Because I actually did have a bit of a breakdown, I think, a month and a half ago. And I was like, no, this is it. She's going to fall and no one will be prepared and everything. Everyone was like, Malik, she's grand. She'll go into hospital if she wants and all. So I was actually prepared for this. And everyone was like, Jeez, Millie, I didn't know that you'd know that and all. And I was like, I told you. I told everyone.
You didn't believe me.
Yeah, no.
And Louise, those moments where Millie said she got you back and you let out, you exhaled and then a groan. Would you remember that?
I remember the crunching of the chest.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that people say. They probably, we probably stop CPR because they do hear the massive crunch. My chest bone was dislocated and there was a few ribs broke. That's just insane. Like, if somebody is doing CPR on you for that amount of time, it's 100% that you're going to break ribs or dislocate a chest bone. I came around when I didn't hear the crunch, but I felt the pain, and I came around and then I went back under, and then I was coming around and then back under. But obviously Millie had kept the blood flow going. You know, the blood, the oxygen going around my blood, even though I wasn't breathing, you know, but she had kept, you know, the blood flow going herself, you know.
And Millie, how were your arms and shoulders?
So, Joe, I know it was 2 weeks ago, but I'm actually still numb. I have no emotion or anything like that.
She hasn't cried,
like, and I'm
or
being
anything.
Very honest with you. Like, I have no emotion. I literally, like, I'm watching horror movies and I'm just sitting there. I can't feel anything still. So I actually don't know. When we heard the crunch, I thought it actually was my wrist, because I would be quite small and I have broken my wrist before just from dancing. So I actually thought it was my wrist, and I couldn't feel anything, so I kept going.
That's incredible, Millie. And then did you hear the Nina, the ambulances, many ambulances turned up?
Yeah, so there was 3 ambulances and 2, like, cars. And I didn't just hear them and just be like, okay, that's done, off you. Like, I kept until they got all their equipment out. I kept it till they were actually ready to say, okay, Millie, yep, it's okay now. We have it under control. So I just kept it going until I seen they were ready.
Well done.
Yeah.
And many of them arrived in the house.
Oh, God. And the size of our sitting room, and we had the nails stuffed out and everything.
And the,
like,
and the place hadn't been painted. Oh, I know, Millie and Louie, I know.
God,
and there was washing, there was ironing all over the place. Oh, mother,
exactly,
if we'd known the 3 ambulances and the 3 cars full of paramedics, we'd known they were going, I would have put the kettle on, Louise. I would have got the ironing under the stairs. That's the most incredible story.
Oh, Joe, and my other daughter is ADHD, and how she kept so calm.
Yeah.
You know, because we've had a lot of troubles in the family over the past 2 years. It's been one sickness. I've been done with autism. And I'm not giving out. I'm fine with all that. Do you know what I mean? But I just want to say, Millie, you're my superstar. You really are. No matter above everybody else in this world, Joe. Nobody could do that, you know.
And where were the two boys, the twins?
Yeah, my dog.
Well,
we actually kept them
in their room on the Xbox, and then neighbours came up. So we said, and this was a Thursday night, so they had school the next day. So we kept them like oblivious to it all. We got a little bag ready for them and everything after the whole thing had happened. My mom got taken out.
Yeah.
And we just told her she went to Dublin to do the Christmas shopping because there was only one person allowed to go.
And they knew nothing of this. They knew nothing about this.
But they didn't happen to know it was the three ambulances and the three paramedic cars outside the house.
No, the blind was done.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, and Louise, how long were you in hospital for? I know you've been in and out with the MS diagnosis.
Six days.
Okay.
And
who ran the house for the 6 days?
Well, I got on well with my ex-husband, so he came down. But obviously now, like with everything that's going on, he's going to have to go back up to Dublin. So I'm going to be left. Like they're trying to get home help. They're trying to get this. They're trying to get that. I can't drive.
Oh, you said that. Yeah.
So I'm out today just to get a few bits and pieces, not anything much.
Okay.
Because honestly, I would love to give all of the kids the best Christmas ever, but it's just one of them years, Joe, where we're all just going to have to sit back and just appreciate, you know, everybody, you know. Yeah. But I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have a clue. I don't have a date in the hospital. I don't have neurology. It's been sent up to Vincent's Butcher. It's been sent up twice on my referral. The doctor in Wexford forgot to refer.
Okay, well, it's getting. Well, anyway, this will help, I hope. Millie, I was going to say, what are you going to do when you grow up? But you've grown up.
She is.
Yeah.
What are you hoping to do,
Pretty
Millie?
Much. I was going to go into mental health nursing.
Yeah.
Sure, I'll just see where it takes me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well done. You're a superstar, as your mother said. Well done. Okay, Louise Nolan and Millie and all the family, well done. It's an incredible life-saving story,
thanks, Joe.
Thanks again, Louise. Mind yourself.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And mentioning Ger Smith and his children reminds me that on Monday the 21st, we're on right over Christmas, up to and including Christmas Eve, and back with a special programme as well on St. Stephen's Day morning. But on Monday the 21st of December, we're going to be broadcasting Little Live Line. We're going to be opening the phone lines to our younger listeners, and we want them to review their favourite books, albums, movies, TV shows. They can review anything from Billie Eilish to the Beatles to their parents' favourite music or favourite books or favourite TV box, from Frozen to Fargo, from the Gruffalo to the Goldfinch. And if you've someone in your life age 16 under or even younger, as the fella said, who would like to feature on the programme, send us an email to littlelifeline@rte.ie or indeed to Little Liveline RTE Dublin 4. And we will endeavour to include in one way or another as many people as possible. That's littlelifeline@rte.ie. And then on Wednesday, the 23rd, 2 days later, the eve of Christmas Eve, we'll be broadcasting our annual self-published books programme. These are books published by people, no commercial background, so to speak, doing it for a life story, a biography, an adventure, or indeed a novel. Send us and we'll do our best to give us many a plug and talk about them on the day. Liveline self-published programmes, self-published books programmes, RT Radio Centre, Donnybrook, Dublin 4. And please write everything on the book, all the details on the book. And remember, the books are not returned, they're given to a charity. Liam Carey, back to this giftedness of life, and Molly at the start saving her, or Millie at the start saving her mother's life, and Ger Smith talking about Sister Anne and the impact on their lives. Liam, what happened to you? You were on a golf course.
I was on the golf course to Castle, the fourth hole, Joe.
Okay.
I was playing with a great friend of mine, Simon Bailey, and I thought I got a hole in one.
Okay.
And I was running up the hole, fourth hole, and I collapsed and died.
Wow.
And Simon just jumped up and down. Now, he said I was playing the fourth shot, but I still reckon it was the first. He jumped up and down and called everybody around me, and I was blessed because the chap playing the fifth hole was the head porter in Vincent Hospital.
Okay.
Vincent. And the two guys staying the third hole had just done a CPR course.
But hang on, Liam, you said, you just said to me you just upped and died.
I just dropped. Simon said I dropped like a bag of spuds.
You didn't feel anything coming or
no
dizziness
no.
or pain in the arm or
No, nothing.
Wow.
Not even a pain in the arse, Joe. Nothing.
Okay.
Mind you, I had a bit of a previous. I had 5 heart bypasses, 3 okay. stent, prostate cancer, 2 new hips, chronic arthritis.
Right.
So I suppose when you say to me, was I feeling okay? I'd have to think about
Liam,
that.
Liam, is your middle name Lucky by any chance?
It, it is.
Okay.
Joe, they call me, I swear they call me Lucky Limo.
Oh, do they? Okay. Okay.
Now,
no,
why? There was a doctor in the clubhouse.
Wow.
And they all came around, and then there was a brilliant young man who was a paramedic called Andrew.
Okay.
And Andrew Rogers, he continued to, you know, when I got into the ambulance, he continued with the CPR, and he was the one that brought me around.
Isn't that incredible? And do you remember coming round, Liam?
No, I don't. Now, they tell me in James's that I was the worst patient ever. That all I wanted to do when I woke up was back horses. I didn't care about my health or anything else.
And do you back horses in real life?
I can't tell you over the air.
Okay, you do.
No, I do. I might do a Yankee or a travel.
Okay, but you feel that you died on that golf course?
Joe, I was gone for 18 minutes.
Wow.
They called me, some of the doctors in James's called me the miracle man, because they bring you in every 6 months and they give you tests. And he gave me a test where I had to subtract 7 from 100 and go right back.
Yeah.
You know, and I was able to do it sufficiently that he was very happy with it. Mind you, just as well he didn't ask me to read something, because that might have been a problem.
And when you say 18 minutes, I won't say what do you mean 18 minutes, but who measured it?
From the time I collapsed into the ambulance, it's the ambulance guys told me.
And you have no memory of those 18 minutes?
Well, I do actually, yeah, but I think I can't tell you over the phone. I can't tell you how all the angels are dressed, Joe. They wear very little.
You pulling my leg here, Liam.
I am.
Okay. But you know the way people say you see a light and you see... Anyway.
No.
Okay.
I didn't even see the flag on the hole, Joe. I saw nothing.
And when did you eventually finish that round of golf and win the 5 shillings?
Joe, I didn't, because I'm terrified. I haven't played golf since. I'm terrified of holding a golf club.
All right. Well, welcome back, Liam.
Well, I just wanted, Joe, it's a marvellous opportunity for me to thank everybody at the golf club. Simon Bailey, my great friend, who jumped up and down and screamed, and the lads that were on the fourth hole, and Vincent, and the paramedics, and everybody in James's who put up with some crap, I think, that I was giving them because I was on morphine.
Okay.
And,
they were
wonderful, Joe.
Okay.
And they still are.
Absolutely.
They still look after me very, very well.
Day in, day out. Liam, stay well, and thanks again to everyone in St. James and all the different hospitals there and all the different staff. Thanks indeed. Liam Carey, well done, Liam. Congratulations. Enjoy Christmas, Liam. You sure will after that episode. 51551, my chance.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
More incredible life-saving stories. Danny O'Leary works for Manguard, the security company. He was in the Mill Shopping Centre in Clondalkin in Dublin. What happened, Danny?
Hello, Joe. It was about a year from now, actually.
Okay.
A 7-year-old little girl who was dancing
right.
to the music, full of energy and life, just fell over and stopped moving completely.
Wow.
Now, it would look like that she died, because she had no heartbeat, she had no colour, her eyes were rolled up in her head. I don't want to go into too much detail.
Yeah.
But it just happened so fast. And there was another security officer with me, Dan O'Brien, and he started doing chest compressions. I started doing mouth-to-mouth.
Well done.
I had only recently completed
well done.
A course on my own, and that was great. So, you know, that was it. It was just a horrific moment. I tell you, I never prayed as hard in my life.
And you got the child back?
Yes. Yes.
That's incredible.
No, she, I think we just kept her heart going and her breath, oxygen in her until
Dublin
Fire Brigade alive, arrived.
Well, that's more than enough, obviously.
Oh, Jesus, I tell you, sorry for swearing. It was such a traumatic time.
Well done, Danny. You weren't expecting that. And the other, the two Dans. Well done on that 7-year-old child. And please God, she's well,
made a good recovery.
Brilliant.
Apparently, she had an underlying medical condition that nobody was aware of until that time.
Are you still in the Mill Shopping Centre in Clondalkin, Danny?
I am. Still
is it busy today? Is it busy today?
It is not as busy as I expected, but it is busy.
Okay, maybe people are taking their time. Okay.
Yeah, just one other thing, Joe, while I'm here, and I'll have a chance to say to you.
Yeah.
It wasn't just Danny and me. There was Lloyd's Pharmacy, gave us the defibrillator.
The
people around were fantastic.
Well
their
done,
praying,
Danny.
Their support, their everything.
Well done. Danny O'Leary, 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.